Hello and welcome to Talkin' Wrestling with Pondwater Dave. I am Justin Davis, and as always, I'm joined by the First Lady of the Arn Anderson Fan Club, Miss Amy Vaughn, back from a hiatus last week. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you, thank you. And I do want to take a minute to wish the man, Arn Anderson, happy birthday. It was yesterday, but
there you go. We got to get that in.
Exactly.
We got to get it in.
His fan club celebrates every day is Arn Anderson Day.
So. Well, happy birthday, Double A. Also, a man of, I think, older than Double A, Mr. Pondwater Dave. And from Spot Monkey Promotions, we have Tim, the Spot Man Taylor.
So, Tim. That's it. Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks Wonderful. For being here, Tim.
Yes.
Can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to say the Tool Man. And I'm like, I know he hadn't heard that before.
Never. Actually, it would have been the first time. So,
hey, but I saw one of our good friends retweet it with a picture of Tim Allen and said, "Hey, y'all are getting big guests." And I was like, "Let them believe it."
Yeah, I actually, when I worked as a referee ring announcer, I'd used the name Tim Tatum, so I didn't get people calling me the Tool Man. But sure enough, the Tool Man name has followed me through the years. So.
Well,
did they
grunt
at you too?
Yeah, I've had it all. So I came out actually as a rib one time. The Home Improvement theme song played as I came out to start the show as a ring announcer. So yeah,
you know that name can go two ways. Women may be interested in the Tool Man.
Yeah, trust me, they're not.
Okay.
No, as a referee, they see right through us.
Yeah,
they don't look at us; they see through us.
Yeah.
Anyway,
go ahead, Dave.
We'll start out tonight's with my predicament, Pondwater's predicament. This week, I was in the car. I was heading out for a little vacation this weekend, and they revealed the PWI top 10 of the PWI 500. So I got to listen to it on Friday, and think about it all weekend, and then I actually got in the mail my PWI 500, and then I got hot all over again. So we're not going to do the whole 500, and number 11 to 500 is what it is. So, I mean, if you were in the top, I mean, there's lots of wrestlers that should have been in there. I'm not going to say that there's anybody in there that shouldn't have been in there, but I don't understand how Cash Wheeler wasn't in there. I don't understand how Jeff Jarrett wasn't in there. I don't understand how Matthew Palmer wasn't in there. Barrett Brown. I don't understand how Angel Camacho. I don't know what the criteria is that a wrestler has to do to get on their radar to be considered for the top 500. I will say, and I don't disagree that there's women on this list. Masha Slamovic, I believe, is 13th or 15th. I'm not going to thumb through and find it. She ranked really highly. I refereed a match for her last year. She's an incredible performer. I don't like intergender wrestling. I refereed an intergender match that I feel incredibly proud that I was a part of because she's so good at what she does that I saw it as two people in a competitive situation. So I've got no problem with women in the top 500, and especially Masha Slamovic because she's awesome. But if she's not number one when the ladies 250 comes out, I'm going to have a problem. Because how does she rank that high in the 500 and not end up being the number one woman in wrestling? So I'm poking holes in PWI. Coming at number 10, they had Cody. A lot of people didn't like that Cody wasn't higher, but let's think about it. Cody was hurt. Cody hadn't won a championship. By their criteria, I think number 10 is good for Cody. It's where he needs to be because if they put him lower, there was going to be a bigger outrage. So I don't know how y'all feel about that, but I think the 10 spot, you know, and then let's go to, I'm trying to think who 9 was. It was 9 was Josh Alexander, Impact World Heavyweight Champion. No problem with that. Orange Cassidy, he was the whatever the name of it is. They changed it.
The International.
Amy, you're muted.
Yes, international.
The international champion. Sorry. He was the international champion for most of the year. I mean, which is, you know, the number two, possibly number three singles title in AEW.
Yeah.
I got no problem with Orange Cassidy being eight. Okada, who's I think is the best wrestler in the world, number seven without being a champion. I mean, dropped the IWGP title this year. I'm good with that. Now here's where I start having an issue. We got MJF at number six. MJF's AEW World Heavyweight Champion and has been for a while now and has been heavily featured on their programming. So then we got Vikino at number five. I don't have a problem with that. Gunther at number four. I had no problem with Gunther. Would have been number two. Gunther has had a year. I mean, Gunther's the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. He's brought back prestige to this belt. I mean, when Gunther defends a title, it means something. And this guy's got to be heavyweight champion one of these days. John Moxley. I don't remember John being champ this year.
Way too high.
Well, and I'm not taking away from John. And hey, I hope Moxley's, while I'm thinking about it, I hope he's in good health. I hope he's recovering well. He got concussed last night, lost the national championship.
I think someone got concussed.
It was kind of a scary moment. We were watching it. Yeah. And but that being said, I disagree with him being number three.
Yeah, someone got concussed when they put him in front of MJF.
Well, yeah, and Roman Reigns at number two. How can he not be? I mean, he don't defend the title that often. We've talked about, you know, there's no 30-day rule with Roman, but he is the champ and has been forever. Mm-hmm. So I got no problem with Roman at two. And I even told my wife before the 500 that I can't see a scenario that Seth Rollins wasn't number one. I haven't always been Seth's biggest fan. But I respect what he's done. He's taken this world championship. He's defended the mess out of it. And he's made it. He's made that belt mean something. He's got multiple people chasing it. You're wondering when Damian's going to cash in. You got Nakamura trying to kill him for it. The storytelling's been there. I got no problem with it. Now, PWI, it definitely is pro wrestling illustrated. And the only reason that I believe that John Moxley's number three is because you guys wanted to put the Shield on the cover of this magazine to see if y'all can sell magazines. There's matchmaking. That just goes to show you. So I called it in the so-called Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500 because y'all only gave him number three because y'all are trying to sell some magazines.
What does it say? What's the little blurb that it says about Moxley, about being number three? What does it say?
It just says number three, Mox, but it says the Shield lives on. We're leaders of an industry.
Well, and I get that. And I don't really know about it, but, you know, we have heard a lot about how Moxley is a leader at AEW. He is the biggest name that jumped or that went over there besides Chris Jericho and Punk. And we've seen how Punk kind of worked out, but it's, I mean, his work rate, he's there every week. Granted, he's bleeding every week, but he's there every week and having matches. I don't necessarily know. I do understand, but I feel like we give a lot more credit to PWI than say it was Meltzer's 500, you know, the Wrestling Observer 500. Well, I think that would be a completely different list. I mean,
well, yeah, I wouldn't have read the top 10 because I wouldn't have been able to pronounce five of them.
Yeah, 400 of them would have been Japanese. That's all. It would have been different.
I mean, and I'm not taking away from John Moxley per se.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
yeah.
that maybe MJF should have had skewers sticking in his head two or three times this year, and maybe.
But I'm sure the
allure... he couldn't have got past the matchmaking that went on because you got to do. I mean, they got to sell magazines,
right? But John Moxley has definitely been a presence, like you said. Roman
has been the workhorse for AEW. Every time somebody gets in trouble and they can't put somebody on TV, he's Johnny on the spot. I'll give him that.
And he, you know, exactly. He is definitely 100% in with AEW. So I mean, I see the allure of having all three of them, 1, 2, 3, and having that on the cover. But I do think he deserves to be high on the list.
Well, let's let's go back in time in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And let's say they called Terry Gordy number one, Michael Hayes number two, and Buddy Roberts number three.
Okay. That would be a little bit more of a stretch. Would be like, but if they put Hulk Hogan,
The Buddy Roberts of the Shield got number three.
Right, but we also know Buddy Roberts was the workhorse. He was the one out there that Terry Gordy and Michael Hayes were the show horse. Buddy Roberts, you know, he was the one that was putting things together, and he was probably the glue. But he should get his, you know, roses for what he did.
Yeah, he should have got his roses down around number six.
Well, agree to disagree.
He should not have been under MJF. Is the champion, world champion.
I could see that.
And they rank MJF in the men's top 10 at the back of the magazine. I believe MJF is ranked right below Seth Rollins in their rankings.
But I do agree earlier what you said about looking at the
MJF
the
is number three. Seth, Roman, MJF is the top three heavyweights. Well, then Alex Shelley and Sonata. Moxley's not even the top 10 of their heavyweights.
You need to talk to your friend Bill and say,
Bill
what the hell?
Bill don't have to deal with them anymore.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. You need to find out what in the world, Bill, that got off the rails.
And Bober had a question. He wanted to ask last night why the ref stopped counting the first one that Mox did not move. Because the ref knew that he was fixing to change a championship on national television, he wasn't supposed to. He froze up, the guy didn't kick out. And I'll kick Rick Knox for a lot of things about some the way he referees sometimes, but I'm not going to roast him on this because I probably would have been paralyzed in fear too, that by having to walk back to that curtain after changing a major championship on a huge show on national television.
But
I mean, because we're all taught that if they don't kick out, to count it.
Right.
But I've done it before. Natural not to, especially when there's a championship on the line. He should have been more, I mean, maybe checking on him.
But the title did change.
Yeah, so the title did change.
So why did they keep going?
Because he didn't check on him.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think he knew he was hurt.
I got you.
But when he didn't kick out.
I was going to say, should that not have been a – would that not be – because, Tim, you've ref too. Would that not be like a big thing that goes off in your head if the guy's not kicking out when he's supposed to, that maybe something ain't right?
Yeah, I've done – similar to Dave, I've done that hesitation with, like, I know that's not the finish, but – at that, you know, but before that, he should have been checking on him because I think it was pretty clear he got dropped on his head. I think there's something happened. He actually headbutted the camera on his way out. And what I saw, there was something else. Like he'd hit his head like two or three times before and got dropped on his head. And then not only did they allow him to, I think as Anthony's commenting. So not only did he drop him on his head, he picked him up and allowed him to do it again. So while I maybe don't, you know, I won't put Rick's feet to the fire on hesitating because I've done that. But gosh, he picked him up and did the exact same thing and dropped him on his head again. And it's not the first time with Rick Knox, unfortunately. So I think you know, I'm not on him for hesitating on the count, but for not checking on a guy, that's kind of where I've got a problem with it.
And I'll assure you that he feels terrible today.
Yeah. Sure.
Because there's times that a wrestler gets hurt and you don't realize it. It takes you a few minutes to realize it because it may be something that he got hurt on and you don't even realize he got hurt.
Right.
I probably check on my wrestlers too much. Mm-hmm. But I've also had them thank me for, hey, thanks for checking on me as much as you do.
Right. What about Phoenix? Do you think it was a language thing? Like, did he not understand what was going on? Do you think?
If he knew what was going on, he wouldn't have dropped him a second time.
So Moxley probably was talking out of his head, but they just didn't realize he was talking out of his head. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. You know what I mean?
And that crowd was pretty hot.
Oh, Lord.
That crowd was extremely hot last night. I'm going to give AEW props. I did a watch-along last night, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't poke holes in that show last night. From top to bottom, I thought they did a hell of a job. Hell of a job.
And, I heard there was a Bret Hart ode and a promo last night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Would have
it's
loved
incredible.
That.
You can find it on Twitter.
I'm going to go back and watch it. Yeah.
It's awesome. You had to sound up and stay till the end.
Okay.
Thank you for our audience, the studio audience tonight. We got Gallagher. We got Pyrus with Jared Rollins. Pyrus doesn't get to make it on Wednesday, so we're glad to have him here tonight. Matt Presley, Coach Keith Morrison. Keith, did you get your action figure? Bober, of course. Andrew Hermes.
Allison Faye was in there earlier.
Allison Faye. And T-Weed from a soccer game. Thank y'all for taking time out to spend your evening with us and to learn about all the great things that are going on at Spot Monkey Promotions,
yeah,
which we will get into immediately following trivia.
Yay, trivia time. So I have been chatting with Tim, and he was telling me he does a lot of things, or he has done things a lot, kind of in the background. He just mentioned how he's reffed. He's been a ring announcer, and he does promoting. He has never wrestled. We did discuss that because I asked him. But so I decided our trivia was going to be on promoters. So are y'all ready for some questions about some promoters?
Let's do it. I like it.
All right. All right.
Hey, hold up real quick.
Oh, on don't look.
Let me tell you quick. I did the ring announcing thing once too, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I started it, the iPhone had just come out.
Yeah.
So I was going to be really cool and read off my iPhone. And the guy that got me into the business, his name's Mike Page. He used to travel around with Joey Corman. They were the Overboys. Mm-hmm. And Mike Page was in the audience. And every time I went to go read my phone to announce, he'd call me. I didn't know anything about airplane, but I don't even know if the first iPhone had airplane mode, but
right. But
every time I'd go to read, he'd call me, and that was the only time I ever tried to use it. Well, only it lasted as a ring announcer for about 3 weeks because I don't have that kind of talent. But
right. When
he said referee and ring announcer, I wanted to share that with you.
That's great.
That is a fun story. And Jared, there's no bad. You can't do trivia bad. He said, let's see if Tim can do trivia better than I did. Uh-oh. All trivia is different. All trivia is there to help everyone learn something. So don't feel bad.
Hey, Tim, if it makes you feel better, we asked Jared questions about his favorite wrestler, and he got a couple wrong. So.
And Justin will just pick one name and just go with it. Mike Sharp was the answer for every question.
No.
And
yeah.
Even though I said he's not on this list, he kept saying, Mike Sharp. No. And it's not Vincent McMahon. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, Justin. Not Vincent. All right. We'll go back to the first one. So I took over my husband's wrestling promotion. Well, and I should just say, this is fill in the blank. Who am I? You can kind of read it, and I'll read it too, but then you just say it out loud. So I took over my husband's wrestling promotion after he passed away in 1982. The promotion was part of the NWA in Hawaii. I am more known for my bloodline than for the wrestling promotion I owned. And we thought this was a funny story. At the beginning of my husband's career, I did not know about the choreography of wrestling and thought
what was
it
that
was
again?
Choreography of wrestling. Shut up. And thought it was real fighting. So one time my husband was in a match in San Francisco and was getting beaten by his opponent. So I ran out to the ring and started beating his opponent with my wooden claw shoe. My husband shouted in our native language, stop beating him. He was a friend. So
I'm guessing this is High Chief Peter Maivia's wife, and I do not know her name.
Leah.
It is. Very good.
I got
good.
It on the first. And just a peek behind the scenes, these clues were supposed to come out one at a time, but the we don't have the technology for that. But
my plan this week was to say Don Owen for every guest, but it makes it hard when the clue says my husband's career.
Well, it said Hawaii. We could have said Don Ho.
True, true. All right, you are right. It was Leah Maivia. I like that.
Leah Maivia.
Leah Maivia. It's like, oh, it's Ophelia. Ophelia, I think, and her shortened for Leah.
Oh, all right. Robin go Ophelia.
On. We can go to number two. I am a Canadian athlete, also known as a wrestler, booker, and trainer. Mm. My promotion and training facility has contributed many wrestling personalities and talent.
Got anything for that big bastard?
Where's the fucking working bear? I think it's a stole my fucking lunch here.
Don't forget about the rhino.
Branch, you're not even the
should
best
I player. Answer because I can't do a Stu Hart impression?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, you go ahead. We'll go ahead and let you answer it.
Stu Hart.
Exactly. It says, my family dynasty rivals any other family dynasty found in wrestling, stretching beyond my 12 children to include in-laws and grandchildren. My wife and I ran the Stampede Wrestling promotion in Calgary until we sold it to Vince McMahon. My wife, Helen, and I found ourselves on WWF or TV frequently as part of storylines featuring our family. And I passed away in 2003 at the age of 88. And you are all correct. It is Stu Hart.
My favorite thing of Stu ever was SummerSlam 91 when Brett wins the Intercontinental title from Mr. Perfect. And Lord Alfred Hay goes up and goes, ah, Stu, what do you have to say? And Stu goes, eh. And he rips the mic. Oh, shit. He rips the mic right back off of Stu. And he goes, all right, back to you, Vince. Like, he was not going to let Stu. He's like, this is taking forever for Stu to get two words out.
I miss Lord Alfred Hayes. He was always a good one, too.
I saw Lord Alfred Hayes wrestle in the 80s.
Wow. Really?
He came in and wrestled Chris Adams. And
where?
In the Dallas Sportatorium.
Yeah. WCCW?
And they did the Queensberry rules or where they did
really?
The rounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Was that a special? Well, I mean, that's
oh, they made
different.
A big deal about it, and I'm trying to think who managed him. It might have been Armand Hussein.
Managed Lord Alfred Hayes?
Yes.
Was this part of it? Was this just a Friday night, or was
oh,
this
yeah,
part
it was just
of
a Friday night. But Chris Adams was from England, so
sure
they did the whole English wrestling deal. And
was his wife with them, Jeannie?
No, we didn't know anything about Jeannie until the not wrestling yet. School.
I and gotcha.
That Austin had his wife.
Well, I tell you
actually,
what.
Actually, the first time we saw any kind of wife with Chris Adams was Tony. Helping him get in the Corvette when he was blind.
Hmm. Jared, speaking as someone who loves a good accent, you are Lord Alfred Hayes would have definitely been a hit with the Texas ladies. Just saying. All right, next one. It gets a little bit harder. No. Oh, okay. This is the hardest one, I thought. It says, my mother, Aline Eaton, was a very successful boxing promoter and was the first woman inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. With the death of my stepfather in 1966, my mother had me take over the wrestling promotion on her behalf because she was a major figure in boxing. In 1968, I rejoined the NWA and renamed the promotion NWA Hollywood Wrestling. The promotion showcase arena was the Grand Olympic Auditorium, where we set a national gate record in 1971 when Fred Blassie took on John the Golden Greek Tolos. I never got in the ring, but my brother Gene spent time in the wrestling ring and even refereed the infamous contest between Muhammad Ali and Antonio Inoki. I sold the promotion to WWF in 1982 and passed away in 2009 at the age of 79. Any idea who that is?
Well, it's San Francisco, right?
It is San Francisco.
Hey.
I think Gallagher's got it.
I know the last name, but I forget the first name.
Well, you but can say the last name. Go
LaBelle.
Ahead.
LaBelle. It's LaBelle.
It is LaBelle. What is that LaBelle's first name?
I don't know what the promoter is, but the brother was Jumpin' Gene LaBelle.
Mike yes. LaBelle?
It is Mike LaBelle. Woohoo! Yeah. Very good. Very good. That's I did not know that about his mother. Did
Tim,
anybody
I don't
know
if you can see the chat. If you hit the comments, it'll let you see what everybody on our studio audience.
There
really,
we go.
Really
Terry Weaver says Patty really? LaBelle. Terry Weaver Patty says LaBelle? Patty LaBelle. Actually, my drag name is Fatty LaBelle. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Oh, I've got what our challenge will be. I think we need to see. I think we need to see Justin in his. In his Fatty LaBelle outfit. I think that would be kind of interesting. Anyway. Terry.
Andrew, I don't want Andrew Hermes hitting on me.
I don't think, Terry, you need to guess anymore if that's what you're doing. But I thought that was interesting. I did not know that about his mother being such a influential boxing promoter.
I that's didn't know cool. Gene Kaninsky was the referee with Ali and Aoki.
Hmm. I didn't either.
Who said that?
No, it was Gene LaBelle. The brother was the referee.
Oh, it wasn't Gene Kaninsky.
No, Judo Gene LaBelle. He was the one that was also such a big influence for Ronda Rousey.
Yeah,
I do research. Don't you start with me. And
I had a
question.
Senior moment. Circumference.
Terry?
What kind of audience do you have?
Exactly. Tim, like, never mind.
But my name is Pondwater, which I actually asked Camille to autograph a picture to Pondwater, and she said, Pondwater. I said, it's my nickname. She goes, well, that's unfortunate.
Oh, that's pretty funny. But yes.
I got half hot when she said it.
But at least she was polite about it. Yeah. She seemed to be polite.
No, it wasn't all that polite.
Oh,
she wasn't laughing. Oh, that's unfortunate. She, oh, that's unfortunate.
Okay. Anyway, we're getting off the trivia. Okay.
All right.
Next question. All righty. I have worked in the professional wrestling industry as an agent, booker, color commentator, manager, trainer, and occasional wrestler.
I was going to guess Tim until you said occasional wrestler.
Exactly. I know. I celebrated a birthday earlier this week, turning 62 years old. I have co-owned two different promotions.
This is Jimmy Cornette.
It is Jimmy.
Just because
Cornette.
I know it was, I saw him with his birthday cake on the X gimmick, Twitter X.
Sunday, the 17th, was his birthday. It says, I can be heard twice a week podcasting, giving my opinion on the current state of wrestling. I have been on multiple episodes of Dark Side of the Ring, and I am known for my oratory skills and wrestling mind, and I was co-owner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Ohio Valley Wrestling Promotions.
And my love of cheeseburgers, damn it!
That's Don't right. Forget. And the infamous Dairy Queen rant. But you're right, it is Jim Cornette. His birthday was Sunday. All right.
All right.
Last but not least.
Thank you, FU bye, Jimmy. Who's next?
Yeah, I got his book up here somewhere.
I'll tell the story of this picture next week for my predicament.
Uh oh.
Okay.
There's a cliffhanger.
He was holding That's court. Right. He was holding court in the locker room.
Ooh.
And it was good.
Oh darn. What an awesome thing to witness. All right, last but not least. I passed away in 2021 at the age of 82, but during my career, I was known as a wrestler, promoter, and trainer. I began wrestling with my older brother, Larry, and together we spent a lot of time as a tag team in New York promotions. I moved on to the Georgia Championship Wrestling promotion, where I became part of a masked tag team.
I know this.
He's the assassin.
That won the NWA Georgia Tag Team Championship 12 times. In 1986, I opened Deep South Wrestling Promotion, and after I sold it, I went to run the WCW Power Plant Training Center. I reopened the Deep South promotions as a training camp for the WWE from 2005 to 2007. My son went on to be a successful referee and can be heard on ad-free shows Mailbag Mondays. Who am I?
Jody Hamilton. And for bonus points, his son is Nick Patrick.
Ding, 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 ding. Yay. You are correct. And you're right about the Assassins.
And he also was the manager of Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma, I believe, in WCW for a while.
Yes, he did. He did do some managing for some people. But yes, and Deep South is still running to this day.
It is.
It is. Ta-da, ta-da. So that is just a little trivia about some promoters. There were lots to pick from, but
I still want to guess Don Owen.
I know. I guess I need to go ask you. Next time I'll ask you a question about whatever my topic is and make sure I at least try to slide them in so you can get one.
So a quick right. quick promoter story. So early on when I would be a referee, a ring announcer, and no one would really know who I was or probably not even care, but a 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid would be like, sign my shirt. And I would always sign my name as old territory promoter. So I would be like, Bill Watts or Don Leroy McGurk, you know,
Roy Shire here.
They wouldn't know the difference, but there's some child now that's about 17 that has a shirt autographed by Bill Watts.
We're gonna see that on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. They'll be like, "Can anyone legit this autograph?" And be like, "Bill Watts signed a shirt."
He was never in Russellville, Ohio.
He sold it during the pandemic to some idiot on an online auction.
I have been to Russellville, Ohio a lot.
Wow.
Well, I grew up in Adams County, Ohio, so I'm pretty close to Russellville.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's speaking of what you're doing over there in Ohio, what's going on with Spot Monkey Promotions there?
Yeah, so it's been a busy year for me, so kind of ending the year on a busy note for me. I've got the 3 shows for the end of the year. So one this Saturday, we're calling it the Battle in Berg. So Williamsburg, Ohio, this is actually the high school that I went to. So I kind of sat with a buddy, watch your toes, I'll name drop here. But with my friend Chris Hero, we were talking during the pandemic and just going through old flyers and posters and pictures of when we went to shows as kids. And I was like, man, you know what? I never got to run a show in my old high school. My old high school was kind of devastated by the pandemic. They wanted to, make some money for the athletic department. I knew the athletic director. So 2 years ago, we did the Battle in Berg 1, which was a lot of fun. We had Carlito and Platinum Max Caster. The second year, we had Jimmy Hart and Lance Archer. And this year, we've got Paul London and the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, EC3. So it's a benefit for the athletic program at Williamsburg. And it's neat. It's, you know, for me, I've kind of got to do something kind of cool every year. The first show was, you know, just my first one in the high school. You know, we got Max Caster booked kind of before he really got real hot. And then as he was getting hotter, as kind of the summer progressed, and he was on the show and wrestled Carlito, which was, you know, tremendous. Who would have ever thought? And then the next year, Jimmy Hart, who I've looked up to for a long time, being a manager, having him in my high school, you know, was just wild. And this year, something, again, I never thought I would do. I'm promoting an NWA World's Heavyweight title match at my old school, and it might be the first title defense of EC3, maybe the second. I know there's not been more than 2 or 3 tops. So
let me ask you, was he the NWA champion when you booked him?
No, not at all.
How great is that? Because you know that things go, I mean, you're always last minute scrambling for cancellations and promoting an indie show, anything could happen.
Yep.
But how often does the NWA championship fall? Now we're the NWA champion?
Right. Yeah, it was really great, you know, just great luck. So I saw that the match was booked, you know, I'll keep up on the spoilers. And I would say, you know, I could have the NWA champ on the show. And I said, I don't know. You hear that, how much they love Tyrus because of his publicity. And then he won the belt. And I was like, oh, well, maybe we I'll see if he's going to bring the belt. So I just asked him, I was like, hey, for promo pictures, you know, merch, are you going to bring the belt? He's like, dude, we can, let's do a title defense. Billy wants it. So yeah, he set up a world title tour. And like I said, I mean, he's got a lot of shows coming up, and I believe I'm one of the very first, if not the first title defense. So I lucked my way into something really special here, and I'm really excited.
So people know too, Tim, Williamsburg High School there, the home of the Wildcats. What is that, about 30 minutes maybe east of Cincinnati is what we're talking about here. So if you guys want to see the show, that's about where it is.
Yep. So yeah, it's about 30 minutes east of Cincinnati. Really easy to get to off the highway, off 275. Easy to find. You know, it's a nice high school. There's great concessions. Bleachers, some nice seating. You know, it's not one of those sketchy indie buildings that you'll find occasionally, but something that I kind of, in going over with research with my good friend Chris the Brain, who will be doing commentary. So there's not been very many wrestling shows in Williamsburg. So I think I've promoted about half of them that have ever been on. But one of the shows from, I believe it was the, I'm trying to find the date, but EC3 will not be, despite it being a small town of very few shows, he will not be the first world champion to have competed there. So actually, many years ago, there was a show headlined by the Sheik against Cowboy Bob Ellis. But on the undercard, the women's world champion June Byers competed in Williamsburg at the old high school. So she was the first world champion in the old high school. EC3 will be the first world champion in the new high school in town. So
when you say the Sheik, you're not talking about the Iron Sheik, right?
Iron Sheik, no, I mean Sabu's uncle.
The Sheik,
original Sheik out of Detroit. So they used to run a lot in Ohio. Their television was in Cincinnati for years. Right. So also on the undercard of that show in Williamsburg, a gentleman by the name of Angelo Poffo, who I think we all know, and Dave, you being a world-class guy, there's a gentleman on the, who actually teamed with Angelo Poffo on that show in Williamsburg years ago. Bronco Lubitsch was on that show as well as a wrestling team with the Macho Fire.
Nobody counts three like Bronco Lubitsch.
Hey, the older I get, the harder it's getting for me to get in and out of that ring. And I'm starting to be more, I started out like David Manning, and I'm kind of ending up like Bronco Lubitsch.
Are you just going to start stomping your feet for a couple times instead of getting down for that pin?
No, because that was discussed in the back one night, and I was assured by the boys they beat the hell out of me.
I think you just hold up the fingers and just go, one, two, three.
Hey, Mike Bober pointed out that Ron Mathis, who's on that poster, is the new Rise Wrestling Grand Champion.
Yeah, Mathis, I have long history with him. So this kind of go around promoting shows isn't my first time. I actually promoted shows years ago. Mathis was always a workhorse for me. I love Ron Mathis. Don't let him hear me say that, but he's a tremendous talent. He's one that should have broken out a long time ago. He's one of those guys that definitely a tremendous talent, ton of charisma, and really it doesn't matter what we're trying to do. If it's a spot show like we're doing here in Williamsburg, where there's going to be a lot of students and maybe people coming to the one indie show a year, they may not even watch WWE or AEW. He's a guy that's going to, you know, be memorable for those folks. But in, we've got other shows like the one I've got coming up on November 3rd. It's more that traditional independent wrestling crowd. Ron Mathis can be a killer, man. He, you know, he had a street fight against a young guy on my shows, Justin Xavier. He's in a tables match against Joshua Bishop on November 3rd. Those guys will go to war. So Mathis is just absolutely one of the best out of Ohio, and I wish him the best. So,
which one is Mathis on this poster? Just so he's the one.
Yeah, he's the one flexing with the beard and the blue tongue. So that was just a pure coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah, he took his pre-workout right before he did his promo pictures, and he's like, I need to do that every time before I take pictures. It was just worked out. So.
Hey, and
I love it.
And let's also point out that Paul London is an incredible talent.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
He's unbelievable. He still goes, you know, he wrestles pretty frequently for AIW out of Cleveland, and those guys speak nothing but highly of him. And there's a lot of folks there that I really respect their opinion. Everyone, you know, Paul London, you know, not the biggest guy in the world, but I don't think you know, anyone could deny his talent. WWE tag team champion, cruiserweight champion, and he's still going pretty hard today. So really looking forward to that as well.
Who's the guy with the megaphone at the back?
So that is Carson Drake. He is a loud mouth. So he
saw him on Tri-State.
So Carson. Carson to me is very much like some of those 80s guys, like a Tully Blanchard, or you know, you think Gino Hernandez or Ric Flair. It's like one of those guys, you see him out and they go, oh, I wonder how he's like backstage. You know, he can't always be a loudmouth jerk. No, he's just as loud. He wants to be the center of attention. He is just a walking gimmick. And the old school fan of in me like loves the fact that this guy is just on all the time. And then sometimes when we're in schools, I have to remind him, you know, like, keep it down, pal. So
he's working. I thought that was him.
Yeah. He's a tremendous talent. He's a young guy working really hard, to get in tremendous shape. He, you know, he bust his butt. He's been doing, I think it's Rocky Mountain Pro out of Denver. He's done some of the, Dave Marquez show. It's a Derby City Wrestling. So he's doing TV work at a couple different places across the country, going hard in the Cincinnati area, done a lot of work for me. I have him on just about every show. I know the folks at Tri-State Wrestling, who also operate out of the Cincinnati area, good friends, Jared and Logan, they really like him. He's a guy, it's going to be hard to keep him from getting signed in the future.
Uh-huh. I want to just go back and say, I think it's really impressive of NWA Billy Corgan, Mr. Corgan, whatever I can call him, to be okay with having his title on a show, a promotional show, and to be defended. You know, I mean, that's, he didn't have to do any of that. And I think that's really, I think that says a lot about him. And what his promotion's doing, that is something that he's cool with. So, you know, it's a fundraiser for you all. Mm-hmm. So what better way to help bring out some fans than to have the NWA title and it on the line? You just never know what you may see at, you know, different shows. So kudos to him.
I think in fairness to Billy, though, he's got a champion that will do it.
Yes. True.
Cardona did it. Camille's been all over the place. She was all over the world defending the title. Kerry Morton's all over the place defending his title. Heck, at the Wrestling Showcase, the masked guy, Zion?
I do not know.
He was the national champion, and he defended the national championship on the Wrestling Showcase last year.
Right.
So but it's not that Billy won't let us... It's not that Billy won't let his champions travel, but Tyrus wasn't making the towns. And for some reason, I mean, Nick Aldis did it a little bit.
Right.
So, I mean, I think Billy understands that it helps him to have his champions exposed. And EC3 is going to be out there doing it just like Cardona was.
Definitely. Sorry.
I was going to say, you know, you're fine. I think it's just talking about Cornette. It's like, how can I miss you if you don't go away? And, you know, that title hasn't been defended on the indies for a while. So it just, to me, feels even more special that belt's being defended again for the first time in a while. And here's a guy that tremendous look, tremendous talent. And he's, you know, he's going to be out making towns, defending the belt, you know, against some of the best independent talent out there. I mean, he's wrestling Lord Crew, who was just on AEW's Rampage last week against Aussie Open. He's done a lot of those televisions for Dave Marquez in Derby City Wrestling in Louisville, the one they did in Atlanta. He's been at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood out in California. So Crew's another one, like Aaron Williams there in the glasses and the tie, like Ron Mathis, guys that have been around for a while that are just tremendous talents. You may not know the name, but you should, because those are three guys that have been doing it. You know, they're staples of my shows. They're tremendous performers, and I think Carew is looking to make the most of the opportunity he has this Saturday night.
I think I saw his – he did a promo about the upcoming competition. I feel like he was standing out – he was outside doing it. It was really good. Like you said, I was definitely interested in what he had to say, so I think it's going to make for a very good match. So I'm very excited to hear about it.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Tim, tell us how Spot Monkey came to be and the choice of the name Spot Monkey.
Yeah, so I promoted some shows years ago. got out of it. I ended up moving from Cincinnati to Columbus years ago. So it just kind of got out. It was burned out for a while. I helped a guy out of the Columbus area start a promotion. You know, I'm hard-headed, so, you know, I would try to give advice, but sometimes he always wouldn't listen to me, and I would help him out when I could, but I kind of saw the convention market kind of start to pick up about 5 years ago. You would see more appearances, more conventions, things of that nature happening. So I started working with some, you know, legends. You know, Bob Holly was one that I worked with several times and took him to some shows to do just autograph signing. So it's one of those things where I would say, hey, I'll bring this guy to your show. You can put him on your flyer. You can advertise him and it doesn't cost you anything. So promoters really appreciated that because they were able to put a name on the show and put him on the flyer, draw attention, and it doesn't cost them anything. So I took really all the risk in doing autographs, but I chose the name Spot Monkey Promotions because after I had been a promoter for years, you know, all of that, you know, all of the hard work that goes into it, you know, this, the daily grunt work, the promoting, the hitting the streets, the flyers, the advertising, the booking, the cancellations, the getting the building, getting the insurance, all of that stuff wore me out. So to me, you know, a spot monkey is the person that's out there only doing the cool stuff, only doing the flashy things. And that's what I thought I was doing. I was only doing the cool things. I was working with the legends, working with, you know, making, you know, dreams come true, letting people meet some of the legends that they grew up watching. So I was doing spot monkey things. So and as I translated to promoting shows again, I kind of stuck with the name. So, you know, there's the alphabet soup out there. You know, I could pick any three letters, but unless you're WWE, AEW, ROH, NWA, I could be Cincinnati Pro Wrestling. I could be Bearcat, you know, Championship Wrestling. But to me, just be different, you know, because, you know, everybody knows the name. Maybe it was taboo years ago to talk about it, be a spot monkey. But now it's, you know, it's a phrase that a lot of folks use. But as you saw in my flyer, it wasn't a big part of what I do. You know, I really made the battle in the Berg as the big draw because we're in Williamsburg and I was really trying to draw something special to that. But it's a unique, you know, unique name. It's different. I feel like not being just three letters helps me stick out compared to others. So
it does. Cause when I learned about you that you existed, I was intrigued. I was like, yeah. Cause when Amy has told us you were going to come on the show and I'm like, well, there's plenty. Cause I love learning about, I'm huge on supporting indie wrestling.
Yeah.
Cause I always tell everybody that indie wrestling's not, kind of is the minor leagues, but the talent is just like the talent they see on television. It's the talent without the opportunity yet.
Right.
I mean, yep. Sure that you got some guys that are just starting, but I mean, these guys are out there honing their craft and I mean, they're going to be, they just haven't had the chance to get there yet. So anyway.
Right. No, I like to tell people we provide them, you know, entertainment, very close to, if not on the same level as what they see on TV, but they're up close, personal, and many chances get to meet some of those people. You know, as cool as it is to watch Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins or MJF, you don't get to have that interaction with them unless you're at a convention and you're paying a lot of money. But, you know, you come to one of my shows, you can go meet Ron Mathis, you can go meet Lord Crew or Aaron Williams, or, you know, you'll be, you know, even at my show, you will be able to go meet EC3 and more than likely get your picture with the NWA World's Heavyweight title, which that definitely doesn't happen on a WWE show.
Oh, let me see here. Y'all are an hour ahead. I live in West Kentucky. I'm trying to think of how long will it take me to get, man, that's a draw to get your picture taken with the belt. I mean, EC3 too, but still the belt. That's what I think would be pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Oh man.
It's the belt that I grew up watching. So, you know, it was, it's crazy. Exactly. It's the belt that Harley held and Terry Funk and Ric Flair. And it's crazy.
People often say that those three letters don't mean what they once were. They don't mean what they used to, but they still mean a lot. They still mean a lot to me.
Heck yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of old fans that they won't know what AEW or ROH means, but you know, some of the, you know, my uncle, I meant the NWA World's title. He's like the same NWA World's title. And, you know, he hasn't watched or gone to a show, I think, since the, you know, mid 80s. But, you know, that kind of, he kind of was definitely intrigued by that.
And if it's okay, I'm laughing at something in the comments. Sorry. So I wanted to kind of go back a little bit. You were talking about how earlier you had said that you had had been talking to your friend Chris Hero, and you were talking mm-hmm. about different posters, about things when you went to go see them when you were younger. So mm-hmm. what kind of wrestling did you watch when you were younger? Who were kind of your favorites? What mm-hmm. What's your favorite memory, I guess, from your childhood about wrestling? Where's that love come from?
Yeah, I mean, so I go back. I don't even remember the first time I watched it, but I remember having sticker books from WrestleMania 2. Definitely it was Hulk Hogan that got me hooked. Mm-hmm. But later, after I'd watched every WWF videotape at the video store, probably 15 times each, there was an NWA. I was like, oh, I guess I'll watch this. War Games, that sounds cool. And then it was like, oh my gosh, this is completely different, you know, equally awesome in a very different way. So, mm-hmm. You know, I got to go to some WWF house shows back in the day, which was awesome. But, you know, gosh, I was in high school and, you know, probably 15, 16 years old. And I got to go to my first independent show, which the main event was Tommy Rich and Ivan Koloff, which that was kind of like that. We were in a field and, you know, in Hamersville, Ohio. And it's like, what are there, you know, an NWA champion wrestling a WWF champion 10 minutes from home in a baseball field? Like, what is going on?
Somebody say something about wrestling on a tobacco wagon.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, and I was just blown away. Ivan Koloff spoke perfect English. And I was just, yeah. So, you know, it really, all my friends watched wrestling. It was just, you know, those independent shows, you know, those local independent shows, they used to come around once a year, which I feel like I'm doing something similar in Williamsburg and some other shows I'm doing, you know, bringing that once a year independent to a small town that typically doesn't get it. You know, there's other shows that I'm doing that are hour and a half from Cincinnati. And, you know, that's too far away for them to go for a Monday Night Raw. So it was the same thing with these local shows, you know. 1 year, Ricky Morton's on the show. 1 year, the Iron Sheik's on the show. You know, Rip Rogers and Ivan Koloff, Tommy Rich. So, and then I got really, you know, opened my eyes to some local. Then, you know, I eventually found the Heartland Wrestling Association through those shows. And that was Les Thatcher's promotion that eventually became a developmental territory for a while. So, but just always loved wrestling. I mean, it turned into ECW, and then the local channel would get the old Memphis TV and Smoky Mountain TV. And gosh, you know, it's like I watched all of it. If you look at my shows, there's a little bit of, you know, old NWA sprinkled in along with some Memphis, along with some ECW, but, you know, also a WWF guy. You know, you look at my posters, you know, there's characters on there. There's guys that look good. And to me, that's a big thing. You know, the guy's looking like a star, looking different. You know, there's a guy, Dalton McKenzie, on there. The dude is just a hoss. He's, you know, guys that look good, guys that look like stars that pass that elevator test. That's the VKM.
Is that Dalton towards the back with the black and gold?
No, that's Damian Chambers. Okay. Dalton is in the purple and yellow singlet. The Trapezosaurus Rex there is pretty much, he's
okay.
He is a monster. He's been doing it for a year. He is going to go places too. So he is adapted to it like a fish in water, and he's just a monster. And he's a guy that's going to go places too, I think.
You mentioned seeing all those different promotions when you were during your fandom. Wasn't it like striking gold when you turn the TV on and there'd be something new on there from a different area?
Yeah. I mean, it was just completely new. It was completely different. So, you know, we had Smoky Mountain for a while, which is, but then I would get ECW, and then Smoky Mountain went away, but then we got the Memphis TV, and they were in the old Memphis, you know, Channel 5 studio from Memphis. And it's like, well, Friday night we're watching ECW at 2 a.m. and Brian Lee's chokeslamming Tommy Dreamer through 3 tables in an arena full of, you know, guys in black t-shirts. And, you know, we'll wake up at 10 o'clock the next morning to watch the Memphis TV in front of 50 people, you know, kids and, you know, women and, you know, a few guys in the Memphis TV studio. I mean, it's just, everything was different, and it was so awesome. You know, I wish you know, there's a lot, it's different, I guess, because you can watch a lot of wrestling, but it's streaming. It doesn't have the same feeling because it wasn't, you know, appointment television. You could watch a lot of these streaming shows whenever you want, but it's like back then, if I didn't wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, I was missing Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee and PG-13. So I didn't do that.
I remember one Friday night, I was supposed to be going out and I just happened to walk past the television and it said Battle of the Belts. Ric Flair versus Barry Windham. And I'm like, and I sat down and I was late going out because I wasn't leaving until it was over.
Yeah. Yeah. We would do things. We wouldn't go out
to Dallas. I mean, it was in Dallas, but
right.
These are guys that I've seen in their magazines.
Yeah. Yeah. We would delay going out until after pay-per-views would end typically on Sundays, or we would go do things, but we had to be home before. It's like, well, the bar may not close till, you know, two, or the nightclub may not close till 2 a.m, but we've got to leave by 1:30 so we can get home to watch ECW at 2 o'clock in the morning. So
with your love of wrestling, did you ever want to be obviously you've done promoting, refereeing. Mm-hmm. Did you ever want to make that your career, something in the wrestling business as your career?
Yeah. I mean, it's always kind of crossed my mind. It would be awesome. Now it's more difficult because, as we learned today with a bunch of the cuts, you know, the job security in wrestling's not the best. So I've kind of jokingly had that conversation with friends. It's like, how much money would it have to be for me to quit my day job and go do wrestling? But, mm-hmm. you know, when I first started as a referee, it was the fall of 2000, you know, ECW was still around. WWE was still around. WCW was still around. At that point, WCW was hiring a lot of young guys. So, in those locker rooms, there's guys, you know, like myself, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, were really encouraged to see young guys like, you know, AJ Styles get a chance and Christopher Daniels got a chance. And there was a lot of those young guys, you know, Kiwi, the Natural Born Killers, a lot of those folks that got opportunities. And there was a lot of optimism, you know, for young guys, because it's like there were still three companies you could work in full time. So it was pretty encouraging. And then that kind of, you know, went away pretty quickly about 9 months after I started, when two of those three were gone. And then a little more encouraging when, you know, HWA had a developmental. So it was like right there that there was a company that, but that developmental only lasted about a year or so as well. So the dream kind of faded pretty quickly, but I've still, you know, stayed part of things for about 20 years. So over 20 years now.
Where did you train to be a wrestler? Did you do it at Heartland?
No. So I started out, so it was kind of funny. So I became friends with Chris Hero before I knew he was Chris Hero. He actually, if you didn't know this little piece of trivia, he wrestled as the wife beater. There was a wife beater that wrestled for Combat Zone Wrestling as well. But Chris would wrestle in the white wife beater shirt. And he did a show in Wisconsin that actually got some publicity, and it actually got debated on a segment of the Politically Incorrect, the old Bill Maher show. And it's like, he's like, you know, this might be getting out of control. So maybe not every show wants a guy on it called the wife beater. So he changed his name to Chris Hero, HYRO at first. And then everybody was saying it like the sandwich, like the, you know, he said, Chris Hyro, you know, he's like, I'm just going to go Chris Hero. So I would go to shows with Chris, and there was another guy, that was a veteran of the area. He's kind of a goofy guy, but he was always friendly to me, made sure he gave me opportunities. So I'll always respect him for that. But I would hang out with them backstage at some local shows in Cincinnati, but I hadn't done any training, and they only had one referee on their shows, but they were doing a deal where they needed a second referee. And so they said, hey, bring Chris's friend. Just let him do it. I'll go, I have no idea what I'm doing. They go, oh, no. It's fine. Just wear black pants and a referee shirt. And what's going to happen is the ref will get bumped, and then you'll check on the other ref, and there's blah, blah, blah will happen. And then just turn around and you'll see a pin 1, 2, 3 and the heel will win. I go, so all I have to do is turn my back and they'll tell me when to turn around and count. I can do that. And then the babyface decided that he was going to hit me in the head with a trash can lid and slam me on top of the other prone referee, and frog splashes both. And then they said, you know, maybe you should come to training. And I was like, you know, that's probably a good idea. So
Sounds like a good baby face move. Let me just annihilate this new referee that just came in.
That had no, but I was smart enough to just play dead at that point because I knew I knew it was going to be worse for me if I didn't sell enough. So I think I probably oversold to the point of death at that point. So, so at that point, you know, I did say, you know, Chris was showing me some things. There was a local promotion, you know, the guy's name was Jamat. He was most probably notorious for running a school with New Jack for a while in Cincinnati, did some training, not really the best. So I did a lot of training on the fly. So I went to some trainings with Jamat. Chris was showing me some things, and it got to a point where I just quickly started working shows. You know, but at that point I could take basic bumps. I could run the ropes. And I worked with a couple of local guys, the referees that were, you know, really good to me. So I felt like I had gotten a lot of good help, but definitely not that traditional 6 months in a wrestling school kind of thing. I was kind of thrown to the wolves from the beginning, but, you know, I quickly, well, along with Chris, we started working for IWA Mid-South, which was a great opportunity. I was entering 2 to 3 days a week, refereeing 3-4 matches a night. So I learned quickly, and, you know, Ian Rotten, say what you want about him, you know, gave a lot of opportunities. And I was there at that time. Chris had started, BJ Whitmer, Colt Cabana, CM Punk. And at that time, he would bring a lot of great veterans in and out. So, you know, we would sit, you know, all of us would sit there, you know, mouth shut, ears open. And Tracy Smothers would be there, and Sherry Martel would be there, and Bull Payne would be there. And then you would randomly get, you know, Sandman would come in, or Bart Gunn would come in, or Steve Carino. So there was a lot of folks that would, you know, take a lot of us under their wing and just talk to us, correct us. They knew that, hey, there might only be 30 people here. Sometimes that was a good night, but they made us better. So that, you know, you can say all you want about Ian Rotten, but he provided a place for a lot of people to learn a lot. And I'll always be grateful for that.
Were you and Chris here? Maybe were you all childhood friends, or did you meet up later in life?
Yeah. So we actually met on, for those that are old enough to remember, dial up internet in the America Online. There was message boards, and you could talk to, you know, there would be message board to talk. And there was some guy that messaged me that was like the name was like the wife beater. He's like, "Hey man, I'm in Dayton. You're in Cincinnati. You ever go to shows?" And we just ended up talking on America Online and became buddies. And he's like, I'm going to be on a show. Come watch my show. And we just instantly clicked and became really good friends. You know, to this day, we just, you know, exchanged texts last week. So.
Well, Justin's the only one that doesn't know about dial-up because he wasn't born.
Oh, that. I do too. Now hush.
You heard it from your crib.
No, I had to dial that bitch up. That's for sure. I had my Napster dialed up.
But you had to do your settings. You had to do your settings to turn off call waiting, or you get knocked off the line if somebody called.
Yeah.
For some reason, that was 9, and then 1-1, and then dialed the number. And I know one night my modem dialed 911, and I'm online like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the Royce City Police Department are knocking on the front door for a 911 hang up.
Oh Lord.
Yeah,
American. You said it was just me logging into America Online.
And what were you going to log into at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I was probably looking at pictures of Sunny.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, that's why my dad's or my computer had to get taken to my dad's work, and he's like, "Who's been looking at all this?" I'm like, "I don't know. Some dude must have broken the house. Did that?
Some dude broke in our house."
That's what he said. They had wrestling boards.
Yeah.
You go to the wrestling boards, you'd go download GIFs, and you download sound effects.
Yep. I would download 30-second clips. They didn't have full songs online for you to download, but I got like 30 seconds of the Demolition theme, which to me at that point was the greatest thing ever. Or you would get, you know, it would take 3 minutes to download one picture of Sunny in a bikini. But, you know, 17-year-old me, it was well worth the wait.
I mean, you're just sitting there watching in the pictures. The picture you're just it's
I can see a quarter boob
eventually because you probably had a 12 gigabyte hard drive, and 2 megs of RAM.
Andrew says my computer had never had a chance, and he's right.
Like 2400 on the modem. I mean, it's when you think about it, it's crazy.
Yep.
How everything we doing this was not a this was not a thing. I mean, you had Eric Bischoff doing Prodigy chats. Prodigy was precursor to AOL.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious!
My wife still has AOL email addresses.
So does my mom.
My mom would be like, "What's an email?"
Oh, now
that is. I'm not kidding. She doesn't have an email. She doesn't have a debit card. She still rolls with cash.
Really? She didn't even have one for work. I would think. Nah.
Oh, look, Jared was one of the rich kids.
Yeah. But you know, that is kind of a cool story that, you know, like you said, I think Dave, I think you're
my best friends. We started in the Yahoo groups.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to get at.
We started in the Yahoo groups and then as belt collectors. And then went to the message boards. And I mean that's how
but I think got that's, my Oh, Coach Keith still has an AOL email.
Coach Keith's a real one.
Yes, he is. But I think that's really cool. It just talks about how, you know, how wrestling friends connect. I mean, just even the three of us that do the show, I mean, how we've connected. You found your, you know, 20 years later, you're still, you know, he's gone on to do his things. You're doing your things. But you all still talk because of a wrestling message board. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, so not only Chris, but, you know, Nate Pelley, who was a manager, he's been around for over 20 years in the Cincinnati area. Really entertaining manager. He's done some commentary for the Tri-State Wrestling guys. Same thing. We just got talking about indie wrestling. I think it may have even been through Chris. You know, he's one of my absolute best friends in the world. So, you know, some of the longest friendships that I've had in life are wrestlers and, or wrestling personalities, or, you know, just from wrestling. And, you know, it's unique. And there's been times where you'll sit in, you know, whether it's a locker room or a restaurant after a show, and it's like, look at this just weird motley crew of people that have nothing else in common except wrestling. And we could sit here forever and just talk about it. So,
Tim, my question is, when you was emailing Chris and he's like, hey, you want to go to a wrestling show? How long until you said, so do you really beat wives, or is this a gimmick, or should I be scared?
No, I was like 19 and dumb at that point. I'm like, there's a dude that wants to talk wrestling, where I sign up. I would have ended up in a, you know, a van for free candy at that point. If it was-
So how often do you, because I know you have this promotion coming up this Saturday. And then you said you talked about the one November. Do you try to do one like once a quarter, or do you just as the need is there? How do you run your promotion like that?
So this year, I mean, it's, so I really started out, I was looking to do my school shows. So I knew at this point going into this year, I thought I was going to have two school shows, and then I wanted to run quarterly events at a building in the Cincinnati area. It was another, again, similar to wanting to run in my high school. It's like, man, no one's ever run in this part of town. I want to run there. And I found a great building, a great partner. It looks great, you know, live and in person. So so it's called the Elite Athletics Sports Complex. That's where I'm running on the 3rd. So November 3rd will be my fourth show there in Batavia, Ohio, at the Elite Athletics Sports Complex. And then, so I've done another show in Manchester, Ohio. That was back in April. The Williamsburg show is this weekend. Manchester, also a fundraiser. And through the course of the year, I picked up, you know, I thought, all right, we'll do quarterly shows in Batavia and then the two school shows. And then I picked up another fundraiser on November 17th in Georgetown, Ohio. Jimmy Hart, if you've never had an opportunity to meet Jimmy Hart, you need to meet Jimmy Hart. I've got him on both of my shows in November. He's the greatest of all time. But, you know, Jimmy will be there. So next year I was like, all right, well, I'll do my four shows in Batavia and then three school shows. And I've already picked up a new school for early 2024. So, you know, I'm kind of becoming the king of the east side of Cincinnati.
I might have to come to the Manchester show. That was actually the first school that I taught at my first year teaching.
Okay, yeah. So
Manchester, home of the Greyhounds.
Yeah. So I actually have had, out in Manchester. So the first year we had Jimmy Hart that appeared. We've had Johnny Swinger. We've had Victoria. We just had Brutus the Barber Beefcake there this year. So he actually, I mentioned Nate Pelly. He's a manager. He lives vicariously through me, Nate the Snake. So I don't manage my shows. I kind of run them. So all the cool things that I would love to do, I have Nate do. So Nate did a spot with Jimmy Hart on my first show in Manchester, and Nate got his hair cut by Brutus the Barber Beefcake this year. So
I like it.
He gets to do all the fun stuff I wish I could do myself. But Brutus couldn't cut my hair, but if I had hair, I'd do it. But
so are the school shows that you do, are they all fundraisers?
Yeah, all the shows in the school. So Williamsburg, Manchester, and the one in November 17th, Georgetown, those are all fundraisers. The Elite Athletic Sports Complex, those are for my Vegas fund. Those are for me to hopefully profit and go to Las Vegas and be a degenerate. you see there, November 17th. So a lot of the same folks. You also will see on there the veteran Jack Vaughn, who's OVW champion, I believe, right now. TikTok sensation. He's had millions and millions of views on his TikToks of being the grumpy old veteran. As you see in the very kind of the guy in the white shirt or white jacket right above Jimmy's head, that's Justin Xavier. He's another guy. Keep your eye on him. He's, I think, 22 years old, started training here in Cincinnati, but decided to pick up and move for 3 or 4 months and trained at the Nightmare Academy last year with QT Marshall. But he got particularly lucky because that was that downtime between Cody's AEW and WWE stint. So Cody was, integral day to day in training those folks. So, Justin, great high flyer, young kid, he's only going to mature, only going to get better. And then, the ladies there, Nurse Micah, who's the lady on the right, she, out of the West Virginia area, she's a legitimate nurse. And so that's what she does day to day. She is a huge student of Zack Sabre Jr. So I think she brings something very unique in the fact that she's a very technical wrestler that you don't see from many women on the independent scene. And then on that show, she'll be wrestling Riley Matthews, who works primarily for the Northern Wrestling Federation out of Cincinnati. But she's only gotten better from the times I've seen her. A tremendous look. I think she's got a great upside, and one you'll start seeing her name more as well.
Georgetown High School, home of NBA All-Star Brian Grant.
Yep, that's about all it's known for.
Tim, who's this guy at the well, I'm looking at it, be on the left, not with the blue and yellow speckled gear there with the sunglasses.
Yeah, so up front, that's Dalton McKenzie, the one right up front. Yeah, that's Dalton McKenzie. So yeah, he's the guy. He's been in for about a year, but he's been hanging out with some good guys. He's been doing a lot of TV. He's done some TV for that Derby City Wrestling for Dave Marquez down in Louisville. He's done that same TV I mentioned out in Colorado for Rocky Mountain Pro, which, D'Lo Brown has been an agent for them. So he's great. He's been under the learning tree of any veteran that he can be around doing seminars. So he's a guy that's only going to get better and is really the most upside of anyone out of the Cincinnati area, I think,
in a
few years. Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Did Rocky Mountain Pro
prominent in all your posters pretty much? So
Rocky Mountain Pro, is that who Vince Russo wrote for?
Yeah, he did. I think that, from what I gathered, that he wouldn't show up, but he would just send in stuff, and then he wasn't there, and guys would be like, oh, this is Vince Russo stuff, and they would want to change it. So
I literally mailed it in, bro. I just mailed it in, literally.
Yeah. So I think he was not, from what I understand, I could be wrong, but I think he was like, what do you mean you changed half of the things that I was doing, bro? So,
I gotcha.
So I don't think
he's
around.
I guess I just had heard that. So.
Yep.
Interesting. So it seems like I'm assuming that the fundraising, school fundraising, this is a really good way for the schools to generate extra money because you, like you said, you keep picking them up. So, I mean, I guess word of mouth gets out and it's just like you work together with the school. The school has ownership because obviously the more money that comes in, the more money they, I'm assuming, split or however y'all do it. So that's kind of neat. Do they just kind of talk to each other? Do you go out and advertise like this is what I could do for you, or how does that work?
Yeah. So really it's been a lot of word of mouth. So originally when I did the first Battle in Berg 2 years ago, I'm doing a one-off one show and then I'm never going to do any more shows again. But then as that was getting promoted and it got a good buzz because I had Max Caster and Carlito on the show, which was just a tremendous get for me that year to have them on the show. That was getting a lot of buzz locally. And then I had a friend who was on the school board of the Manchester school district. And he said, you know, we should do one of those at my school. And that kind of picked up. And then some family friends that are part of the Georgetown Athletic Boosters, they kind of saw, it's like, wow, how do those go? You keep doing them. And, you know, I've kind of said, well, here's what we donated from the ticket sales. And here's what on average they've been making on concessions as well, which is revenue for them. So, you know, the only thing that I ask out of the schools is, hey, let me get some posters up in the school, throw it out on your social media, try to send flyers home with the kids, you know, that kind of thing. So they, you know, they've seen the success and where it's gotten out. And, you know, that was another, I picked up one that for March of next year, it's you know, just the word of mouth. They've seen the success that we've had. And it's just thinking outside the box, you know, schools, you know, there's all kinds of fundraisers selling cookie dough and mattresses and you buy these things and, you know, you got kids handling money or you've got kids trying to deliver candles or any nonsense. And, you know, it's, I tell them, I make it easy. It's like, look, I'll provide you the stuff to send home to kids. I'll provide you what to send in an email. I'll get all the graphics done. And I just need you to open your doors up and I will bring the people. And I've been very lucky. I mean, all of my school shows, I don't think I've had a crowd of less than 300 people at any of them. I've been very lucky to have drawn really well, which some of the folks, you know, Manchester, it's a small town of maybe 1500 people. And the first time they said, is that okay? I said, 300 people for an independent show is good for an independent show anywhere in the country, much less, you know, just tiny little town. I mean, I took pride in the fact that last year I had around a little over 400 people in Manchester at my event. And the only name I had Johnny Swinger and Brutus the Bar, or no, that was Johnny Swinger and Victoria. 1 week later, Impact Wrestling ran in Cincinnati and had a smaller crowd than I did with their entire roster of the Good Brothers and Jay White and Josh Alexander and all the Knockouts. So, the kind of the joke was amongst my wrestlers is, where's our TV deal? Because we got a bigger crowd than these next kid. So, we're not quite ready for prime time, but
he's not lying when he says Manchester's a small town. It's very small.
Do you have champions, Tim?
Not yet. So that's something, you know, I'm looking to potentially do next year, not to spoil anything, but, you know, that's it, really, I was just looking to establish my roster, establish my crew. You know, I think people will be more likely to be interested in that championship chase once they have an understanding of who my folks are. So in that, you know, more of that will be emphasized in the Batavia building, the Elite Athletic Sports Complex, because those are regular shows, more storyline driven, you know, really working to establish the characters and, you know, really build some things similar to what my guys at Tri-State Wrestling did. Use 2023 as just provide that base. And just kind of, it's like, hey, here's who we are. Here's who these tremendous athletes are. Here's what they can do. Now that we've got you hooked, 2024 is going to be even better. So.
Well, cool. And when you do that, we can't wait to see what kind of belt you come up with. And speaking of belts, big time belts. When Tim gets ready for a belt, Big Time Belt can hook him up. If you want a belt, maybe you just want to carry it around the house, throw it over your shoulder because it makes you feel like a badass. Big Time Belts has got you on that. But if you're a promotion, Big Time Belts can hook you up. Don't send your champion to the ring with a toy with stickers on it. Give them something that you can be proud of. Give them something that promotions like Legacy Championship Wrestling, Bayou Independent Wrestling, Alabama Champion, Alabama Wrestling Association, PCW. They're all the Pennsylvania Grand Championship. It's all because of Big Time Belts. If you can dream it, Muhammad Zubair can make it for you. At Big Time Belts, we have high quality and low prices. Reasonable delivery times. You can get a belt with your favorite sports team. You can get a belt with your granddaughter's softball team. You can get a belt for your, just whatever you can dream up. It can be put on leather and metal plates, and it can be in your hands, and it's a very, very affordable thing. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Dave, if I want to get a belt, my wife will kill me. I'm here to tell you, folks, I've got 76 of them, and she does get over it eventually. And here's another good point to make. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? She's going to get mad and not talk to you? It's football season. Count your blessings. Throw your belt over your shoulder. Run your house. Put a robe on. Wear that belt. Walk up to her. Open it up. Present the belt to her. And say, baby, the champ is here. Big Time Belts on Facebook. Find us at the Facebook group, Big Time Belts. If you need any help designing your belt, reach out to me. I'll be glad to help you any way I can, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring our podcast. Big Time Belts.
I'm digging that bass line. I'm going to write some lyrics to that music next week. We're going to have a whole song.
I like it. I like that you can get a belt, not just, like you said, there was the Las Vegas Golden Knights, right? That showed up, and I mean, you can do sports teams. You got your granddaughter one. I mean, it can be a lot of people doing fantasy football. That I think that's a great, you know, trophy.
I'd rather have a belt than a trophy.
Heck yeah, that could be a pat. You know, that's kind of cool. If you did fantasy football, you could have like a belt that's traveling. So
hey, nowadays everybody gets a trophy, but not everybody has a big time belt. So there's that.
Very true. Very true. Very true.
The producer's going to write a new commercial.
I've been waiting on that.
I think I know which line she wants to maybe change around a little bit, but we'll see.
Where's the lie, though? Where's the lie?
Didn't say it was a lie. I just said she might want to change that line around a little bit. So, you know.
Tim, just where can everybody find Spot Monkey out there on the internet, as our former president would say?
Yeah. So all of the socials, it's at Spot Monkey Promo. So, at Spot Monkey Promo. I've created separate kind of event pages. So for the event this weekend, you can just search Facebook for the Battle in Berg. For the event in Georgetown, you could search Throwdown in Georgetown, which is the event on November 17th. But we kind of keep a running tab of everything going at Spot Monkey Promo on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I refereed a Georgetown basketball game last year, so if you need me, I'll bring my stripes. Just let me know, Tim. I'll show up.
I need help with ring crew. I always need help.
You need me to mule stuff around. I see how this is going.
We need pictures, Tim, just in case. Do it. Yeah. That's right.
Well, that's all right. I guess I'll start there. But I think I am going to try to come down to Manchester. When is that, November?
No. So Manchester, that I do that every spring. So that is okay. One. So yeah. So we've got Williamsburg this Saturday, Batavia, which is about 15 minutes east of there, is November 3rd, and then Georgetown, which isn't that far from Manchester, is Friday, November 17th. So completely 99.9% sure that another Manchester event will happen. That'll happen likely in March of 2024. And I can say it now, not that it's a big deal, but yeah, Eastern Brown High School as well. It's going to be in March of 2024. So
I don't know. I can't go there. That was our big rival in school. I went to North Adams. So.
Okay. Well,
Eastern Brown's a no.
So Dalton McKenzie, that monster with the traps, that's actually where he went to school. So yeah. He's normally a devilish heel on my shows, but he's going to be white meat baby face. I feel that show. It's going to be Hulk Hogan at the one WrestleMania against The Rock, I might want to make him a heel, but he's going to be what loved that day. So
I love it.
Awesome. I grew up about 5 minutes from Eastern Brown High School, so I definitely know, that's awesome that you're running there.
Well, we encourage everybody to go out and support these shows, especially at these schools. They're great fundraisers. I mean, the money goes to a good cause. You get a great night of family-friendly action. I mean, you're not going to take your kids to a school and see something that you shouldn't see at a school.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just a great wrestling's been the best fundraiser since I was a kid. I mean, I used to watch Saturday Night Wrestling, and most of the time they talk about where they were going to be, and it was in a school and or in a VFW hall, but it always had told you who it was benefiting.
Yeah.
And I think too, especially this weekend, you get a chance to see the NWA World Champion and potentially get your picture taken with the belt. Like that, I think would, for me, like I'm contemplating how far, how long, when do I need to leave my house to get up there? So,
Tim, yeah, you Matt, on shows in Columbus or Northern Ohio?
I have not. So Columbus is weird. I know a lot of folks have, you know, their promotions run there. I've never run there. If you have a school there, I would love to run a show there. In Northern Ohio, I actually ran a show there. Gosh, I think maybe East Lake, Ohio. 10 years ago, I did one show there, but again, it was a school fundraiser. So, you know, definitely not opposed. Columbus is a weird town. Unless there's a school, there's just built places try to run shows there, and it's just never lasts long. It's either they're really expensive or there's just it's just awkward. You know, there's a lot of no ring or no chairs, and you know, I'm a traditionalist, so you know, some people are into that, and that's awesome, but I prefer my shows with chairs, with ring, and with crowd. So
there you go.
This is a tricky one.
Ohio's always been kind of a good wrestling state, but Columbus has kind of been a black hole for wrestling. I think it seems like, I don't know. It's never seemed to take off there in Columbus. It seems like, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's different things, you know, I don't know. I would do things differently than the people that run there. You know, they all have their quirks, which is cool. You know, it's their money, whatever makes them happy. But you know, they do things a little differently. I wouldn't say there's not much that, you know, they're not traditional wrestling promoters. I think, you know, like I said, they'll do the no ring, or they'll do the, you know, no chairs, or they may only try to do big events where it's only a sold show at a festival. Which if that's their motto, that's awesome. But, you know, there's not really been anyone regularly running, you know, the fairgrounds or running at a school. And, you know, I would love, you know, I would make the trip if there was a good opportunity. But, you know, haven't found it yet.
Whoa. And Matt, that is your homework for this week, since you want Tim to come to Columbus or North Ohio, is to find a school that wants to do some kind of fundraiser.
I know someone up at Bloom Carroll, but I don't know. It's a little bit south of Columbus, but could make it work.
Well, Tim,
you're willing to travel anywhere, right, Tim? For the right setup.
For the right setup, yeah, the right price, yeah. No, not the right price. I take all of the risk, really. You know, I don't charge the school anything. It's like, hey, they start making money from ticket one. So usually find a way to make it work, and I keep the prices reasonable. So, you know, you get to meet some of these legends or see an NWA world's champion, or, you know, at the time, you know, current AEW stars. I've had, like I said, Max Caster, Lance Archer, and, you know, I've never charged more than, you know, I've never charged $20 or more for a ticket. So I usually can get in for a GA, general admission, for $10. So try to keep it reasonable and try to make it a good time for all.
Awesome. Lance Archer was my trainer.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice guy. Funny story. You know, the AEW. So he had tweaked his back, I think, in the G1 last year. So originally he was going to wrestle Ron Mathis on the show, which would have been tremendous. But he had tweaked his back, and he goes, well, maybe I'll just come do autographs, because I'd hate to make that worse. And then the office will call me for the first time in months. And I'm like, so I get it. So he still came out, still made an appearance, still did something on the show, which, you know, he could have been very easily canceled. So he was so cool, really respect the professionalism, still came out to meet folks and did great. But the day before they announced on Rampage, I said that he was coming back. He was in a battle royal or some typical AEW nonsense. But he, I was like, oh, that's big deal. You're back on TV. He goes, yeah, I found out watching TV that I was back on AEW next week. So, you know, they hadn't even prepped him and called him and told him that he found out watching the show. That's when he was booked for the television next week for the first time in months. So
Matt wants to know how to reach out to you, Tim. Just text, do your, you go. All on your social, just do send you a message that way.
Yep. Yeah. There's some weirdos on here after all that talking about some of your cross-dressing names. So I don't want to give my phone number out, but I feel safe enough with the at Spot Monkey promo and all the socials. So,
Fat, don't worry.
Very Fat, pretty, though.
No. Fatty LaBelle will find that number, Tim. Don't you worry.
I'm putting a poster with your face on all phone poles in Manchester to keep you away.
Exactly. And put a wig and some eyelashes
if
to kind of
do that,
help.
If you do that, you're going to have a lot less than 300 at that show, I can tell you.
Well,
thank you, Tim, for coming on. I got to meet you in Indiana last month at Jared's Tri-State Wrestling Show. So thank you so much for coming on here with us tonight.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. This was a lot of fun. So I appreciate it, guys.
Well,
Before
we go, I want to tell everybody that we've really made a real push. We've been pushing hard to get subscribers to our YouTube page. We offered, and we thank everybody that's told me since we announced it that we were going to have a stunt at 200 subscribers, and everybody's, you know, we're slowly getting there. We're at 172, and but unfortunately, we were going to do the one chip challenge if we got to 200, and a lot of y'all got behind it. I mean, I've got it.
Yeah.
I had good intentions. A lot of y'all got behind it because y'all wanted to see it. And then a lot of y'all reached out to us concerned for our health. And I'm not scared. I'm not scared to do it.
I am.
I'm not. Here's what I did not consider, that a 14-year-old child died doing this. And it would be, I think this would be very, very disrespectful to their family to do this as a, I mean, it's just, our heart was in the right place. We're just trying to make y'all laugh, do crazy stuff. And, you know, the degenerates that listen to this show would love, I mean, they would really be tickled to see me in some kind of agony, and especially Amy.
Well,
so,
I know what my agony would be, but I would throw up right on this computer. But if I ate a spoonful of mayonnaise, I would immediately puke.
But let me tell you that our referee in Mississippi, Louisiana, there's some really big wrestlers that come through here. And our champion happens to weigh about 460 pounds, Angel Camacho. And I don't think, because he doesn't like me anyway, I don't think it would be real hard for me to get him to chop me at 200 subscribers. If we get to 500 subscribers, I'll take his finish, which is like like Yokozuna Vader. I mean, he does Vader bomb.
Does Stephanie have a picture of Angel? Like, I think people need to see who you're talking about.
Well,
and
I'm sure that she's in there looking right now, but. I mean, I'll take a chop from Angel, and if Angel don't want to do it, I'll find somebody else. But I'm not volunteering him for anything. I'm just throwing it out there that we could probably, you know, we could find something else to do to entertain the masses for because we do appreciate every subscriber that we get, and I'm told now we're at 173. So, but understand, we're not wimping out. I mean, we made the commitment. We bought this $9 potato chip. We're going to do it.
$9? Mine was 14.
She had shipping and handling.
I did. I had to go. Yeah, we don't have Circle K's here in Kentucky. I had to get off Amazon.
But again, it's just, it was pointed out to me about the disrespect, and I 100% agree. Cause I didn't ever consider that. And it's a shame that this thing is so powerful that it was able to take a life from a young man. So
terrible.
So we're going to table that. We're going to do something else. Every milestone we'll come up with something.
I definitely think there is Angel. Look at that. Yeah.
Well, you'll be fine, Dave. You've already been chopped down to size, so you'll be all right.
So, y'all be sure to come back and join us next week. Next week, we're going to have
Tony Gunn,
the Arkansas Roughneck from OVW.
Yes, he is in The Wrestler, the documentary.
Yeah,
docu-series, whatever.
Hey, have y'all had a chance to watch that yet?
I finished it all yesterday, yeah.
Tim, did you watch it?
I watched most of it, yeah. I've seen, I think, 4 or 5 of the episodes. So
Some interesting characters on there, that's for
sure. I thought it was really good. And Hollywood's got a tryout this week, so.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure that I didn't really think that documentary was doing her any favors.
I was going to say, I've heard that a comment was made that they typically will bring in one person that they could point out to being the screw up amongst the group. So it's like, oh, here's one person that is a dumbass, essentially, or that they don't have much faith in. So they could say, hey, here's this person that flames out pretty early or says something or does something stupid to kind of like get everybody in line. It was suggested that she might have been the one, but. Certainly, who knows?
Well, I hope she proves them all wrong because she's a hell of a talent.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
a star,
she's
on
got
that
charisma,
show.
Man.
I thought there was. I wish they wouldn't have done James Storm the way they did him, announcing numbers and saying he couldn't draw 60. I mean, he didn't draw 60. So,
yeah,
I think that was unfortunate. I don't know how a typical viewer, but I mean, I watch wrestling through the eyes of a referee. So there was some things that were on there that I was like, oh, I wish they wouldn't have shown that. But it was,
yeah.
We binged it this weekend and it was really enjoyable. So we'll talk to Tony Gunn about it next week when he's on the show.
Yeah. I think the one thing, you know, when people look at me as like an independent promoter and I'm talking to maybe it's a, you know, maybe someone watches it on Netflix because, you know, they certainly post those kind of things to try to not only get wrestling fans, but beyond wrestling fans. So it's like one of those things, but me as an independent promoter, you know, are they going to say, hey, is some guy going to snort drugs or is some girl smoking weed out here or what, you know, are there real fights going on backstage? Is this what we want in my building or my high school? Or do I, as a sponsor, do I want to sponsor your event? You know, what's going on with some of these wrestlers? And, you know, there was a lot of good, but then there's a lot of things that I saw that it's like, ooh, did some of the actions on this show make my life as a promoter more difficult? And that depends, you know, yeah, in the eyes, it's all in the eyes of the beholder, but you know, that might make some people more interested in investing in or checking out independent wrestling, but that also might be a hesitation for somebody to do business with an independent promoter or letting me in a building or, you know, maybe my current building is like, maybe I need to walk through that locker room to make sure there's no people snorting drugs or smoking weed out back or anything like that.
It won't be the first time someone smoked a doobie in the girls' bathroom at the high school, so that'll be hard.
How dare you make such accusations?
No kidding.
Oh.
Like you're in the girls' bathroom or something. Oh.
Well, Fatty LaBelle is.
We've said it all. We've said enough.
Fatty LaBelle is in the girls' bathroom. She goes there.
So we'll see Fatty LaBelle if we get 200 subscribers.
Yeah.
I think we see Justin eat mayonnaise. I think we will get.
That won't be good.
I guarantee we will get to 300 like that. Ooh. If that's what we put out. Mayonnaise. I mean, look, people want to see that. Like, look how nervous you are. You already like sweaty. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it won't be good. There'll be puke all over the screen right here.
That, but I think people will still want to see that just to see you try to do it.
It'll be the shortest show ever.
You got a motor. I like that one too.
Oh.
Well,
we have said it all. We've said enough, Dave.
Yeah.
True. After that.
Jared Rollins killed the town talking about Motorboat and Angel. Yeah. I think this brought the show to
screeching halt. Well, I don't drink it. I don't drink at shows, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, we ready to go home, as they say in the business?
Let's do it.
I think so.
Tim, right. Thanks again, man. I hope anytime you want to come back, if you got something coming up, just let us know. We got an open invitation for you. We'd love to have you back, and we're trying to grow this thing, and we can't thank you enough for your time.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Take care, and good luck with the mayonnaise, Fatty LaBelle.
All right. Well, for
Tim Tate. Hold up. Yeah. Spot Monkey, are you streaming anywhere?
I'm the premier streaming network. So we just So I got my show back in May. Is on there. So that was with Joey Janela, Eric Rowan, plus some of all my usual suspects like Ron Mathis, Aaron Williams, Lord Crew, Jack Vaughn. I've shot them my footage from the August show, which was more scaled down, though, big legend or big name, but a great street fight between Ron Mathis and Justin Xavier. Carson Drake against Josh Bishop, who's out of Cleveland, is a great talent. Our cameras will be in Williamsburg this weekend. They will be in Batavia at the Elite Athletic Sports Complex in November as well. And we'll get all that and get it up to the fine folks at Premier Streaming Network.
Premier Streaming Network is a great bargain. There's mm-hmm. lots of independent wrestling on there, the game event. The Wrestling Showcase, StarCast.
Podcast.
So, a lot of bang for your buck. So do check them out. Check out Spot Monkey on there.
Yep. So for Tim Taylor from Spot Monkey Promotions, for the First Lady of the Arn Anderson Fan Club, Miss Amy Vaughn, for the great Pond Water Dave, I am, of course, Fatty LaBelle saying, take care of yourself. And each other. So long, everyone.
Bye-bye.